Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are so excited to get this up and going with our very first episode. Kristen, how are you?
So excited. I am doing well. I am so excited to finally start getting into some of the meat of what we wanted to talk about and kind of why we wanted to start this podcast. I know you guys got to hear kind of an intro teaser episode, I would say last week, but it wasn't last week. It was a few weeks ago. but super excited to really get into our topic and what we're going to talk about. So yeah,
we are so pumped for this. Hey, how was your week? What did you do?
My week's been really good. It's been pretty chill. Just been working, and some things at church were on spring break. So we, some of my ministries in the evenings I didn't have, which was kind of a nice little break. I love to serve, but it's really nice to have those evenings back. Yeah. So it's been a really good week, and just trying to do a lot of, you know, cleaning, housework, normal things that we have to do, and that does not stop when life gets crazy.
It doesn't. Adulting.
But how's your week been?
Oh,
vacation for a little bit.
Yeah, so relaxing. So as a homeschool mom, I don't really get a break ever. And then add all the things that I do on top of that. And so my kids actually, for the first time this whole school year, went and visited their grandparents for the week. So my husband and I took a vacation, just us, and we just went to the lake, and I laid out and read a book, and it was just super relaxing. And I miss my babies. I'm ready to have them back, but we needed that time. And so
absolutely,
it's been a really sweet time. That was my week. I'm ready to, ready to get back into things now.
You're rested and refreshed and ready to jump back into life.
Yeah. And a little sunburn, but it's fine. Yeah. So Kristen, today we're just going to start off with, talking about the gospel, right?
Okay.
I know.
If I insist,
I feel like it's a really good groundwork for everything that we are going to be talking about, right? So, absolutely. I feel like we should start off with that. So today we're talking about what is the gospel and why does it matter? So we know that the gospel is the good news, right? That we need every single day, and the gospel's for all of us because we're all sinners, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, I figured just to get us started, we would start with just saying, like, what is it? What's the gospel? And to start at the very beginning, right? So we said that the gospel is the good news of Jesus, and it's the good news of God's grace, invading the darkness of the sinful world, right? But before we can fully grasp it, we have to go back to the very, very beginning, back in Genesis, where scripture tells us that God made everything, and everything that he created, mankind, was his masterpiece because we were made in his image. And while living in perfect community with God, man sinned. Instead of trusting God as his authority, man decided to become his own authority, by disobeying the demands of his creator. And this act of rebellion resulted in physical and spiritual death. But when we're talking about God's attributes, right? God is holy and just, and he is right to punish sin. And I think sometimes that makes us really uncomfortable, doesn't it? To think of it that way, but he is holy and just.
Absolutely.
And he is right to punish sin. And it's a good and right thing for him to do that. And the punishment that all sinners deserve is death and separation from God forever. And that's bad news for us because we're all sinners. But God is loving, and he had a plan to restore what sin destroyed. And so hope is declared. We see in Genesis 3:15, and that every verse of scripture points to the hope of the one who will rescue and redeem. And that's Jesus, right? He's our hope. His work on the cross satisfied God's wrath. And Jesus is the one that we place our faith in, and he's the one that saves us. His crucifixion is the heart of the gospel. His resurrection is the power of the gospel, and his ascension is the glory of the gospel. The gospel is good news about salvation that we received by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So that is
fantastic. What a great, just kind of all-encompassing description of the gospel to get this first episode started and to set the tone for like the rest of what's to come. That was fantastically said. Way to go. Way to go.
Thanks, friend. Thank you. Yeah. And so if we know what it is, right, we know what the gospel is. I think the really what we want to really talk about is like, why does that matter? Why does it matter? If we know what it is, Kristen, can you tell us like, why does it matter?
Why does it matter? That's always, you know, I feel like a lot of times, we have a good grasp on the gospel. We hear it a lot. We have a good grasp on it, and we can probably say, why does it matter from a first level standpoint, if you will, from a justification standpoint, that's why it matters, but it's a lot deeper than that. It's more than just the plan of salvation or that moment of salvation. It for sure includes justification, but when we talk about the gospel and how it impacts your life throughout your entire life, it's more than just, oh, I said a prayer. Oh, I am, you know, I confess my sins and now I'm good. The gospel no longer, you know, we so often don't go back to the gospel continuously, not to be resaved. Let me say that that is not what we're talking about. When we talk about the gospel throughout our lives, it is not that justification is happening over and over and over again, but that justification is that moment of conversion. When we put our faith in Christ, right?
Yeah.
And that one, I feel like we have a good grasp on it. We hear that a lot in churches. We hear that aspect of the gospel. The good news is that God sent his son and he died for us for our sins. And because of that, we get to spend eternity with him, right? That's kind of a very basic, quick explanation. But the gospel also has implications for us in sanctification and through our life. And we were not justified just to escape hell and make it to heaven. I'm sure, like, how often did you hear that in your church growing up? Like, that was kind of the point of it all, was so you didn't go to hell, right?
You were saved out of a fear of hell and not out of a love for the triune God, really, is what that
was. Exactly. It was very much a fear-based salvation. And that's why a lot of times a lot of children kind of feel that, because they see and hear some terrifying things. I think of like, I know there's like movies out there, or like we would have instead of Halloween, we would have like these scary things of what hell would be like. And kind of while the reality of hell is, you know, valid, That's not the point. That's not the point of salvation fully. And so because we're not justified just to get out of hell, we get a new life, right? And now we have, we live and we live it to God through the power of the Holy Spirit, that he transforms us little by little. We're growing in holiness and are delivered from the power of sin. So now sanctification. So we are, now delivered from the power of sin. And it doesn't happen immediately. It happens little by little throughout our lives. And so the same grace that justified us is the very same grace that sanctifies us and ultimately glorifies us. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
Like, that blows my mind.
Yeah.
And that's why we need the hope and power of the gospel for all of it. It gives meaning to our mundane lives. And our sanctification is our present reality that will remain throughout our lives, right?
Yeah. We need the gospel for all of life, right? And we need to live all of life in light of the gospel.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I love that. And you mentioned glorification too. I don't think we talk about that a lot. Like, you know, we don't really look that far. It's like, Jesus saved us. And like, I am just living every day to make it until he makes all things new. Right.
Right. Right.
So let's talk. Yeah. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
The future reality of our salvation, right? It's what we look forward to, that when the presence of sin is completely eradicated. And that's so hard to wrap my brain around, because all I know is sin, right? That's the life that, you know, we see sin all around us. We sin every day. And so to think of a life where the presence of sin is completely eradicated is mind-boggling to me. In our glorification, our justification will match our sanctification. And that's, I think, a really cool thought to think through and kind of chew through. And that's why the gospel is good news. It offers an eternal gift, and it's freely offered to us by Jesus. It's for our entire lives. It's not just for one singular moment. And then we get I think so often we jump from justification to glorification. Like, that is the only two options, and that's what the gospel does. And so often we miss how the gospel is present and why it matters in sanctification. It needs to be the lens that all believers see their entire lives through, not just the beginning justification and not just what's to come, but there's a whole lot in the middle that we've got to see our lives through the lens of the gospel.
And I think that is such a powerful thing in today's day and age, right? When you have like social media and all these things going, and you have all these voices coming at you, and you're like, well, what, this all sounds good, you know, like, what is that? But then it's like, hey, like, what does scripture say about this? Like, I need to view it through those lenses and not through how I feel like this is the right thing. Right. Because we can't trust our feelings.
We can't trust our feelings as much.
Trust our feelings.
Sometimes we want to, because it feels good to trust our feelings. We feel very validated when we trust our feelings.
Yeah.
But they are fluid and they change. They change so often.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, we have defined like what the gospel is, right? And like in a nutshell, and like why it matters, why we need this, daily, why we need to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. Right. Cause we have to remind ourselves like who God is and what he's done, so we can anchor our identities in that. Right. And that's how we have to view the world. But then like, now what? Like, that's good. That's good, Kristen. Thanks for telling me all about this. But now what? We know that the gospel doesn't just make you right with God. And this is kind of our heart right now and with this podcast, but it frees you to delight in him. Like, it's one thing to find freedom, but then to delight in God and in his goodness, is something totally different. And that's like, that gets me so excited. Cause like, what a joyful life we can have when we delight in the one who saved us, you know, not just thanking him for saving us from hell, but delighting in his goodness. I think when we talk about the gospel being applicable for our whole lives, what are some specific ways would you say that can kind of play out? Can you give us some examples?
So this is something that I've always struggled with, kind of being able to, like, cause like you said, those concepts are good and well and wonderful to think through, but it's that application piece, I feel like, that I've always struggled with. Like, okay, I can see how, you know, what the gospel is, I can see how it is applicable to my justification, my sanctification, my glorification, how does that play out in my everyday life? And that's, I think, what I've always struggled with that. But just in like talking through with you on some things, there's the gospel has something to say about our past mistakes, right? So when our past mistakes constantly are coming to mind, which happens to all of us, Like all of us, we all have that feeling of where we're like, oh man, if I just hadn't done X, Y, and Z, if I hadn't done this, if I had done this, whatever it is. But when that's constantly coming to mind, like that is all you're dwelling on, we've forgotten the good news that Christ has made us clean. So it's just that idea of like, when those things are constantly coming to mind, literally redirecting your thoughts and saying, wait, let me go back to that point of justification that, you know, that what did Christ do on the cross? Romans 8:1 specifically tells us that we don't have to sit in our shame, but that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ Jesus, you do not sit in shame and condemnation. You sit in freedom, and because of his work on the cross, that we have that, not anything that we've done ourselves, but because of everything that he's done. And that is a freeing and happy and joyful thing to be able to think through. Right.
Yeah. And I think the enemy doesn't obviously want us to experience that, freedom and goodness and the life that Christ wants for us. Right. And so it's really easy just for those thoughts and the self-condemnation and all those things to keep popping into our minds. And yeah, I think Romans 8:1 is one of my favorites, because it's like, no, because there is no condemnation for those in Christ. And I have to tell myself that constantly when I think of past mistakes or past sins or whatever, and I want to dwell in that, but it's like, no, because in Christ you're free. His blood paid for that. And he covered it.
Fun fact, like a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, Shannon and I tried to start memorizing Romans 8. And I think I got I think I got Romans 8:1 down. I was going really good for a while. And I want to say it was like when we were all quarantined, you know, all of that craziness, that I was like, no, now's the time for us to sit down and start memorizing Romans 8. Maybe we need to pick that up again.
We should, because there's only like 39 or 40 verses. It's fine. It's fine. I think I got like the first like 12, and then I don't know what happened.
I think we both did really good, but even now to sit down, I couldn't quote that. But let me tell you, Romans 8:1, I got down pat. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I will sit and dwell in that one forever if I need to.
I love
anyways, it. Let's get back on track.
So this next, so we talk about what happens with our past mistakes, right? And I think that's really good to rehearse that all the time, to remind ourselves of that. But then like, what happens, you know, when we're discouraged, or just, we feel like we're just at the end of our rope? I know that there has been times in my life specifically, and I've told like a handful of people this, so a podcast seems a great time to do this. But when I, after I had my son specifically, I had severe postpartum depression. And, I remember we went to Colorado and my son was not sleeping like at all, ever. Like
he,
in 30.
Friends, he did not sleep. Like this,
I think every parent, every parent is like, oh, my kid never slept. I'm like, no, literally like 30 minute increments for 2 years.
She was a walking zombie.
Gosh. Yes. And so I remember we went to Colorado, and we went up to the very top of a mountain and we went hiking. And I remember specifically looking down on this mountain and thinking to myself, if I just jumped, I would find rest. I was so tired. And my goodness, how good God is in pulling me out of that. But that was a very dark and scary time. And so I actually, fun fact, Kristen, actually, you kind of wrote this talking point right here. And so I actually have this Bible verse tattooed on me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Can I read that for us?
Please do.
Okay. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to read verse 10 too.
Yes.
For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And I think that when we come to the end of ourselves, that's when we realize that Christ's power is made perfect in us, right? Mm-hmm. We can't do any of this. We can't make it through this life on our own goodwill. Like I wonder often like how so many people who are like unbelievers or whatever face hardships without Christ. That's just like, he's like that never ending well, you know, that you just draw from when you have, when you're literally at the end of your rope. So I think, you know, we don't have to fear failure when we are relying on Christ, because it's not the result of our weakness, right? That's when we're made strong, is like through him. And I think that we can rejoice over that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you were reading that, I think the, in verse 10 that jumped out at me was, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses. Like if it just stopped there, yeah. Like obviously the rest of it, absolutely. But, I think in this day and age, especially, it's very hard to, admit that you might be weak, that, you know, mm-hmm. there might be some, weaknesses there. And, yeah, I am very thankful that it is that when I admit my weaknesses, mm-hmm. that is God's power just shining through and saying, yeah. Yep, you're right. Like you can't do this. And that's, you know, we sometimes get to the end of our rope where we say, God, I can't do this. And he's like, yeah, you're right. Like that was what I needed you to know all along.
Yeah. You are
that I needed you to know that you are a created being. You are not the creator. You are not designed to carry this all on your own. Like that is mm-hmm. not, you are incapable of doing that. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful application of the gospel,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And then like, you know, I am content, just period.
Yes. Right.
Like that's not something that I think we in this day and age, we even know how that is. So it's like, not only do you have, we think we have to be strong, especially as women, and do all the things, mm-hmm. Be all the things to all the people, but just contentment in general in the society that we live in, or just contentment in a season of life where the Lord would have us, you know, which I kind of think I'm going to let you speak to this next section. It kind of leads us into the next one. What does the gospel have to say for those seasons of waiting?
Oh, friends, if you could see our notes, this is probably outside of what Shanna had done for just establishing what the gospel is. This is probably the longest portion of it, so I will try not to dwell in it too much. But I think I'm pretty sure in my intro I shared, or at some point I've shared, I am 35 and still waiting for marriage. which for those of you that grew up in church in general, that tends to be a very unique thing. That's not something that happens often. And I think there's more and more of it happening. But our seasons of waiting. So for me, it applies to, you know, waiting for marriage, for others, but we're always waiting for something, I feel like, right. Yeah. There's those that are struggling with infertility and are waiting for a child. There's those that are just waiting on rest. There's those that are waiting on, financial security or just any kind of security, things like that. Like we always have struggles in our lives where we feel like we are just waiting on God. And we inherently don't like to wait. Mm-hmm. It causes anxiety and worry. It has been a source of a lot of anxiety and worry in my life, and striving to do everything I can to not wait, to mm-hmm. kind of circumvent God's timing as if I could. It's caused a lot of just trying to run up ahead and essentially tell God, like, hey, I know better. But because of the gospel, we who were once enemies of God are now children of God, and his eternal power that once was against us in wrath is now for us in love. So our belief about God and how he views us affects how we wait. Yeah. God tells us all throughout Psalms. I have these little prayer cards and I happen to be looking through them. And they're all about a season of waiting. if you guys don't know what I'm currently struggling with, welcome. there were just so many of them that were coming out of Psalm. So Psalm 27, I'm certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. Psalm 33, we wait for the Lord. He is our help and shield, for our hearts rejoice in him because we trust in his holy name. May your faithful love rest on us, Lord, for we put our hope in you. Psalm 136, verse 6, I wait for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. Like, just so many. I think there's more. Like, I'm not going to sit here and read them, but the psalm is just riddled with waiting. And this is something that all of us do, but it's also, the psalms tells us that he is good, that he is in control, and he is for us.
Yeah.
And it is our unbelief of those things being true that contribute to our worry over what is or is not to come. When I forget that God has told me that he is good and that he is for me and that he's working things out for my good, when I forget that fact is when that worry and anxiety starts coming in, like, just don't even know. It's just like an overwhelming flood of, but what if, like, for me, and specifically for me, it is the questions of what happens when my parents aren't here anymore. And they're like the main person that kind of, if I need something, that's who I go to. What happens when, you know, people think of, like, in your old age, your kids will take care of you. When you're single and you're facing that, you don't have that. And for sure, don't get me wrong, the Lord provides people, the Lord provides the local church. You know, he provides in ways, if that is what is the path he has for me to walk. But it is still scary. And sometimes when I start thinking more about those things rather than dwelling on how God is good, that he is in control and he is working things out for my good, is when that worry and anxiety can just become overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So when we believe who he says he is, because he tells us who he is, we can trust fully in his timing and the outcome, knowing that God loves us, that he knows all things and he will do what is best for us.
Yeah. I think you briefly said it, but it is, do we trust that God is who he says he is, and that his plan is perfect, that his, and it's really hard. You know, I know you and I have had late night conversations about this, and I know, I think sometimes you want to throw something through the screen at me when I try to rehearse, like, say this back to you, you know, cause that's not what you want to hear in those moments, but that's when it needs to be, like, that's the importance of knowing the gospel and practicing it over. So when you are struggling, with these types of things, and whatever aspect of waiting that is, that, the Holy Spirit can say, hey, remember who I am. Remember that I'm good. And remember that my way's best. And because I think sometimes it's also like, we don't want to say this, we would never say this out loud, but when we try to take all of that on ourselves, we're basically saying that we're a better God than God. That's really what we're saying.
Absolutely. Functionally, and that's how, like you said, we would never say it, but the way we live out our life is that I know better. I am going to do better than you are doing, God, because clearly you've forgotten something.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly I know what's best.
And let me tell you, can I, that's false. Let's throw that in there. Can I just also throw in, get yourself a best friend that can remind you of those things, or get yourself someone in your life that can speak to those things, because there are many nights and days and mornings and moments when I will text or call Shanna and I'm like, I'm struggling with this. And she is faithful to just remind me of who God is and that God sees me, and it's okay to be hurt and lament, and to that God sees those, and that is okay. But also, you cannot stay there, and you have to continuously be reminding yourself of who God is. So mm-hmm. if you don't have yourself a friend like that, find yourself a friend like that, community. Because it makes walking these things much easier. It's not up to you then to always have to remember the right things. When sometimes things are just so overwhelming that you physically can't, you know, when I think of waiting, of the beauty in waiting, even if we don't see it in our current situation, it always makes me think of the waiting that Israel had for the Messiah. Like,
no one's had to wait that long, guys.
Right. Exactly. I think of, like, you referenced back Genesis 3:15 was like that first promise that something was coming to make it right. And it didn't come for many, 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 many years. Generations of people waited. And through their waiting, though, God's people experienced his faithfulness still through it. Like, mm-hmm. he did not forget about them. He had a plan. He was orchestrating things. He set his plan in motion so that at the perfect time, he would send the Messiah.
Yeah.
But it's that Messiah.
Yeah, but that came after 400 years of silence.
Right.
No one's having to wait that long, no matter what. You're not having to wait for generations upon generations and then 400 years of silence. Like, there is beauty in it, you know, and knowing that his way is best.
Yeah. To go back to what the gospel, how is the gospel transformative in that moment? It's knowing that we were once enemies of God and that but we are now children of his. Mm-hmm. That is how, because if we know, okay, if I know that the gospel means that at one time I was an enemy, but now I'm a child. Mm-hmm. Once his power is in love now, so I'm sitting in those things. Now who he says he is good and right and loving, and he is in control. Well, that changes how I view a lot of these struggles.
Yeah.
That completely changes it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this kind of leads us into our, and like unintentionally, into what we want to kind of start this podcast off with. Because if we are talking about the gospel and all of the ways that it's applicable to our lives, not just at the moment of salvation, but for the rest of our life, we have to be able to view God rightly. And that's just to know his character, to know his attributes. And to know that the Bible is a book about God, not about us. And I think, at least the way I was raised and the environment that I was raised in, you would read the Bible as a book about us and what does this say for me and like what I'm supposed to be doing. And there is truth to that. There are applications for us, but the Bible's a book about God. The Bible's a book about who God is and that he wants to dwell with his people from the beginning. It's been him keeping his promise over and over that he will dwell with his people again. And we have to view God rightly in order to see ourselves rightly. And for that, we have to practice, you know, daily the gospel. And I think this is what we want to go into in the coming episodes is talking about his attributes and how we see that, and then how we can in turn see ourselves and how we can live this life faithfully, knowing who he is, right? And like how we're supposed to reflect those attributes to the world too. So there's so many applications there. I'm really excited to dive into that together.
Oh, yes. It's going to be so good. Just as we were talking through about tackling the attributes next, my literal question was, Shanna, how are we going to do this? Like, how do we can't make like an hour long episode over each attribute of God, because you guys would get tired of hearing about the attributes of God. Yeah. Like somehow we're going to have to package them. I don't know how it's going to come out, but I feel like we could spend probably a year going over them. Yeah. And we don't want to do that. So
We know that whatever it is, this is what the Lord has for us to talk about, and it'll be great.
Exactly. It'll be fine. And one of the things that kind of my heart, and I know Shanna's heart, has been behind with this podcast is that we're not going to exhaust these topics, right? Like there is no way we're going to be able to, again, you'd have to strap in for like a 2 or 3 hour conversation. And neither one of us have the time to record that amount.
And no one would want to listen to that.
No one wants to listen to that. Let's be honest. But we do want to scratch the surface and maybe another level under the surface, just kind of thinking about these topics. And then continuing to do some study on your own and within your community, within your church, you know, if there are some topics that you're like, oh, I've been talking or I heard a podcast and I've kind of been thinking about this subject, and flesh it out with them, like invite other people into what you're thinking and what you're studying. It's one of the most rewarding things is when you start talking about what it is that you're learning and someone else can be like, oh, that's really great. Or here's a resource that helped me in that. Speaking of resources, we will put in our show notes some resources that we suggest and kind of that we pulled from for each episode. So going forward, watch for those. They'll be in there, and any other pertinent information will be in those show notes as well.
Yeah. Yep. And then we would also love if you guys would interact with us on social media, right? We have our Facebook, yes, our Instagram, our Twitter. We would love to hear what you have to say. And if there's anything that maybe you would like for us to maybe cover or talk about specifically, or questions that you have, that's a really good way to.
And friends, I will be the first to say I am the worst at social media. I do have a social media presence. Don't use it a ton. When we were preparing for all of this, Shanna at one point said, hey, you should change your bio and put like our podcast tag in your bio. And I said, I don't know how to do this, guys. I'm 35. I totally grew up with technology. I totally grew up with social media. But apparently sometimes
I was like, Kristen, there's a
don't know how to do things. That's what she was like, Kristen, this isn't that hard. So no worries, guys. I'm the one in charge of editing and uploading these things. So
it'll be fine.
But all of that to say, I am going to try to make a more concerted effort to be better with social media. Most of the time, though, if you're interacting with someone, it's probably Shanna. But I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to try to be better. We do want to just interact with you all. And as Shanna said, if there are specific things that you want to hear or specific questions or anything like that, we hope to kind of form a little mini community, not to replace any community you have, but a community of where other people can maybe help as well. And we'd love to interact and have you guys following us on social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with all of that, I just wanted to say, friends, be encouraged. Jesus gives us everything that we need for life and godliness in this life. And that's the gospel, right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
That's the beauty of the gospel. All right, friends. Well, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.